Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to worship on this day of Pentecost. Today, we celebrate the birthday of the church, when the Holy Spirit came upon the first disciples as he comes upon each of us. So happy birthday to the Church Universal. And welcome to worship, whoever you are and wherever you're joining us from. We're very glad you're with us. If you have a candle for worship, let's light them together. And remember, Jesus is the hope and light of the world. Please join me in the call to worship today. Come, Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the breath of life. Come, Holy Spirit, our advocate, our counselor. Come, Holy Spirit, teacher of wisdom, reminder of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, granter of forgiveness, giver of peace. Come, Holy Spirit, may we feel God breathing through our worship. May we receive the Holy Spirit in this place. Amen. As we take a few moments to be still and quiet with our God, please hear this Pentecost reflection. To live with the Spirit of God is to be a listener. It is to keep the vigil of mystery earthless and still. One leans to catch the stirring of the Spirit, strange as the wind's will. The soul that walks where the wind of the Spirit blows turns like a wandering weather vane toward love. It may lament, like Job or Jeremiah, echo the wounded heart, the mateless dove, It may rejoice in spaciousness of meadow that emulates the freedom of the sky. Always it walks in waylessness, unknowing. It has cast down forever from its hand the compass of the whither and the why. To live with the Spirit of God is to be a lover. It is becoming love and like to Him toward whom we strain with metaphors of creatures. Fire sweep and water rush and the winds whim. The soul is all activity, all silence. And though it surges Godward to its goal, it holds, as moving earth holds sleeping noonday, the peace that is the listening of the soul.
Good morning. Please join me in saying together our prayer of confession. Loving God, we confess that we have stifled your Spirit within us. You have sent us the Spirit of love, but we have preferred to hate those who oppose us. You have sent us the Spirit of joy, but we have taken your gifts for granted and been ungrateful. You have sent us the Spirit of peace, but we have allowed our selfishness to cause division and disharmony. Forgive us, merciful God. Teach us how much we need the power of your Spirit in our lives, and breathe new life into us. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Friends, I have good news. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. Everything old has passed away, the old is gone, and we have been made new. All this is from God, to whom we have been reconciled through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Today's reading is from John chapter 15, verses 26, 27, and 16, verses 4 to 15. And the title of this portion of scripture is The Work of the Holy Spirit. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds me from the Father. He will bear witness of me, and you will bear witness also, because you have been with me from the beginning. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, you may have heard that I actually got to spend a week on study leave at the end of last month. I used that time to read a number of books that I hoped might help to prepare me for the coming months as we emerge from the pandemic. Some of those books are actually fresh off the presses. They discuss the direction that many people think that the church is heading in. It seems clear to all that the church is going through a huge shift right now. It's a shift that has certainly been coming for some time. We've known that, but it's been accelerated by this pandemic and by the changes we have had to make in order to continue to practice our faith, to live it out. Those who are considered experts in things like this seem to agree that while we will return to some semblance of normal, it won't be the old normal entirely. There will be some new aspects. Well, what we've lived through over this last year, we know, has changed us all. And we don't know yet how those changes are going to impact life in the church. One of the books that I read was called How to Lead When You Don't Know Where You're Going. Now, you might find that title a little disturbing. You might be wondering what kind of leader I am if I don't know where we're going. But the truth is that while I do have hopes and dreams for us and even some ideas, I don't know for certain what life, our life together, is going to look like in the future. Not entirely. I have some good ideas, but not entirely. No one knows this because we're not there yet. We're in this time of significant transition, no longer in our old normal, and not yet arrived to our new normal, whatever that's going to be. Well, we know this isn't just happening in the church, is it? In many ways, the whole world has been thrust into this huge transition. And that book that I mentioned actually offers wisdom about how we can make our way through this time, not just surviving it, but actually growing within it, even thriving within it. Well, there's a name for these in-between times that I'm talking about, these times when we're going through these major transitions. They're called liminal times, and they are a part of life for all of us. I'm sure that if you stop and think about your life, you can probably look back and see some times that were like this, times when something ended and it took a little while before you really moved into the new part of your life that came as a result of that change. We know that between the ending of the old and the arrival at the new, there is this liminal time, and it's a time when much is uncertain. When we're in the midst of times like this, it can feel a bit like we aren't really anywhere, like we're kind of drifting. We feel disoriented, and that feeling is a big part of what makes times like this so challenging. Well, our Pentecost reading for today is so fitting for us this year because it takes us back to join Jesus and his disciples on a night when we know that they were about to be thrust into their own liminal time. Remember what was happening prior to our passage today, and remember what we know is coming. Jesus has gathered with his closest friends for their last night together, the disciples that he was equipping to carry on his mission after he was gone. And we know that their world was about to be turned upside down. Their old normal, their way of life that they'd come to know, traveling and living and ministering with Jesus, that was about to come to a dramatic end. And eventually they would find their way to their new normal. And as the Christian church was born and communities of people were drawn together around Jesus and the stories of his life, his death, and his resurrection, and those communities became committed to follow in Jesus' way themselves. But between that old normal of living and working with Jesus in and around Galilee largely, and the new normal of the early church, those first disciples went through their own time of extreme disorientation and complete uncertainty. People who study transitions like this say that it is entirely natural for people as we're going through these times to just want to get back to normal. Well, interestingly, after Jesus' death, we can see, we have this sense of the disciples feeling that way. You'll remember the story we talked about just after Easter of the two who left Jerusalem and then encountered the risen Christ on the Emmaus Road. They were actually headed back home when they ran into him. Make no mistake, after he had died, they didn't know what to do. And so their instinct was to return to what was familiar to their old lives. Man, do I recognize that feeling. A big part of me would just love to be able to do that right now. But going back to that old normal was no more of an option for them than it is for us. It was clearly not where Jesus was calling them to. I don't think it's where he's calling us to either. In the time those disciples spent together on that last evening, Jesus had been giving them their final and perhaps their most important lessons. He had vividly exemplified for them the nature of servanthood when he washed their feet, showing them that humility and being willing to love and care for others is the highest calling for those who follow in Jesus' way. As we heard a couple of weeks ago, he also reminded them that it was essential that they remain connected to him, drawing life from him and sharing that life with others. And he promised them that while he was leaving them, he wasn't going to leave them alone. He promised that God the Holy Spirit was coming to be with them, to give them all of the help they were going to need. Now, Jesus obviously knew that they didn't want him to leave, but he was urging them to trust him, saying that it was actually better for him to go so that the Holy Spirit could come. He knew that even though they couldn't see it yet, that change was absolutely necessary. Despite what it felt like for them at the time, this would not be the end of their mission. In fact, this change would be the very thing that would launch them into a whole new chapter of it. The presence and the work of the Holy Spirit would be central and essential in all that was coming for them. And so Jesus explains to them how. He says that the Spirit is going to be at work in the world at large and at work in and through Jesus' disciples as they live out his calling to them. The Spirit will help them to make sense of what was happening, especially what was about to happen, his crucifixion and his resurrection. It was the Holy Spirit who would help them to understand that. And the Spirit would go on and share with them all Jesus was going to say to them, telling them what they needed to know and guiding them so that they were able to discern God's leading. Remember, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Helper, and it's perfect, really, because the Holy Spirit is the person of God sent to live with and within Jesus' followers so that to help us live out his commission to us. On this night, his disciples couldn't grasp all this. They were too overwhelmed by what was right before them, Jesus' imminent arrest and coming death. But eventually they would remember what he has said, and it would begin to make some sense. If you read about the early church, in the book of Acts, you will find that it is full of stories that show how they came to rely completely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And even more, it describes the fruit of that reliance. Thousands were baptized and committed themselves to following in Jesus' way, sometimes thousands in just one day. It was incredible. In a very short period of time, Christian communities popped up right around the Mediterranean. And that was because they had learned how to rely on and follow the movement of the Holy Spirit, who was with them and within them. The Spirit faithfully and wonderfully led those disciples through their own liminal time and beyond. And in our reading today, we are given Jesus' assurance that the Spirit is going to do exactly the same thing for us. Through the movement of the Holy Spirit amongst us, God will help us to discern how Jesus is calling us to follow him through this, our own liminal time. The Spirit will guide us in all truth and will help us to see what is happening, giving us God's perspective. I really believe that God is encouraging us with the help of the Holy Spirit to see this time of uncertainty and transition, as a way that God might be leading us into a new chapter of the mission he has for us. Here's what's really interesting. In those readings I was doing, especially in that one that focused on leadership in these liminal times, I learned that one of the most important things a leader can do right now is encourage us to make the time and the space to discern the Spirit's leading. Above all other leadership tools, this focus is central for us. More than any visioning or strategic planning, in this time when things are so uncertain, and when we don't know yet what the new normal is going to be like, we need to actively trust in the Holy Spirit's presence with us and learn together how to recognize the Spirit's leading. So today, as we celebrate Pentecost, we remember the day that Jesus' promise was fulfilled and the Spirit was poured out on all people. On that day, the church was born, and we were given all that we would need to live out the mission God has for us. And so this year, as we head into our future, we hold fast to this perfect gift that God has given us, the gift of the Holy Spirit who has come to live with and within us. And we hold to those wonderful biblical stories that remind us of the incredible things God can do when we listen together for the Spirit's leading and then trust and follow. Amen. Friends, let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with your love. Open our eyes to see the presence of God all around us. In the stillness of this sacred time, in the busyness and the noise of our daily routines, in the joys and celebrations of our lives, and even in the tragedies and the struggles that break our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, comfort those who grieve. Grant them the peace that only you can bring. Stir within us a trust in life beyond death as we ponder the mysteries of Christ's resurrection and the hope we have in new and everlasting life. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring wholeness to the sick. Strengthen those who are weak. Heal the wounded and the broken, and give rest to the weary. Come, Holy Spirit, and inspire those at war to seek peace, to dare to love their enemies, to put down their weapons, and to work towards solutions that don't put people in harm's way. Holy Spirit, especially today, we pray for you to bring a lasting peace to the Palestinian people and to the people of Israel. Come, Holy Spirit, and ignite a fire in our bones. Give us a passion for justice that cannot be quenched until all of your children are loved, until no one is marginalized or oppressed. Everyone has the opportunity to thrive, and the world is transformed and renewed. Come, Holy Spirit, and revive your church. Lead us out of this pandemic time. Inspire us with Christ's vision for the future. Help us to recognize our gifts for ministry and to creatively use them in service of others. Transform our hearts and our minds. Fill us with love that overflows and motivates all that we do. Remind us that there is no greater calling than to love you with all that we are and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Gracious God, give us a glimpse of your kingdom and of the ways it is emerging around us. Draw us into the new things you are doing in the world. It is for your kingdom that we now pray, filled with your Spirit, using the words Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Friends, we thank you again for your generosity to the work and ministry of this church and God's work in the world. Would you pray with me now, dedicating these gifts to those ministries? Holy One, you have given yourself to us in so many ways, and most remarkably, in the promise of your Spirit living within us. Now we give back to you our money, our worship, and our words, limited as they all may be. Receive what we offer, and transform it by the power of your Spirit into more than enough, so that by that miracle, your kingdom might be made known in this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So now we leave this time of worship. And while so much of the road ahead is uncertain, and the path seems to be constantly changing, we know some things are as solid and sure as the ground beneath our feet and the sky above our heads. We know that God is love. We know that Christ's light endures. And we know that the Holy Spirit is with us, found in the space between all things, as close to us as our next breath, binding us to each other until we meet again. Friends, go in the peace of Christ. Amen.